a broadcast service of City College and the San Diego Community College District. This is Jazz FM 88.3 KSDS San Diego. I'm Dave Drexler with Inside Art. Support for Inside Art comes from the members of San Diego's Jazz 88.3. This week on Inside Art, we'll preview a new season of unique chamber music journeys from Art of Elan. But first, the Timken Museum of Art, in partnership with the Balboa Art Conservation Center, are giving the public a rare opportunity to observe the conservation of a major work of art with the restoration of San Diego's largest Rococo painting, Lovers in the Park, by 18th century French artist François Boucher. Boucher, Conservation in a Park, will display the process of how a precious masterpiece is restored while demystifying the world of art conservation as the public is invited to watch and ask questions of the conservators. Joining me to preview this unique collaboration of two local arts institutions are Timken Curatorial Director Derek Cartwright and Alexis Miller, the head of Paintings Conservation for the Balboa Art Conservation Center. Alexis and Derek, it's a pleasure to have you both on Inside Art.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, Derek, since this is at the Timken Museum, tell us about sort of the background on putting together this project, and then we'll talk about the artist and the painting itself.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Well, we're really excited about working with the Balboa Arts Conservation Center on this project. The Timken, as you probably know, is one of the great small collections of masterworks in San Diego. We have important works from Western Europe, from Russia, and from the United States, really between the late 13th and the early 20th century. And when I think about one of the strengths of the Timken's collections, I think about its Rococo painting. And as you said, rightly, this is the biggest painting by a Rococo artist in San Diego. It's actually the first painting that the Timken Museum acquired in 1965 after it opened to the public. So there was already a core group of objects there, and this was the first work that they decided to expand the collection with. Because it's such a large painting, it's rarely left the building, and that's been great for the public in San Diego. It's made it into a favorite, I think, of the public. But over the years, and it's now been 50 years since it's been hanging on the walls of the Timken, the varnish has yellowed, it's changed its appearance, and out of a dialogue with Alexis and her colleagues, we decided it was time to restore this work. The decision to make it a public restoration was actually something that grew out of Megan Pogue, our executive director's idea that we want to share as much as possible with the public and demystify the museum in that way. And so we're really excited. We're going to learn a lot about the painting, and we're going to share it with everyone.
Well, how about the painting itself? What is the just the subject of it, if people haven't seen it before?
Well, if you haven't seen it, you have to come and visit it while it's being restored. It's typical, really, of what François Boucher did in the middle of the 18th century. So it's a large, very lightly painted image of actually three figures in a park-like setting, not quite like Balboa Park, but like a rustic park in France in the 18th century. And there's a young man and a young woman, and she's sort of seated between his legs, and actually he's seated between her legs, I think, in the painting. And then there's another young woman walking into the scene, and his attention is turned toward her. So it's one of these slightly romantic images of young, beautiful people having a casual encounter in public space, which would have really appealed to audiences during the Ancien Régime in France, that time before the revolution.
Now, Alexis, I'd like to bring you into the conversation. First, could you give us a little bit of a background on your institution? Because it flies a little bit below the radar for a lot of people in Balboa Park.
Yes, it really does. We've actually been here since 1975, and the Timken was one of our founding members. So we have a very long-standing tradition of working with the Timken and taking care of their collection. This is part of a larger kind of collections care approach to their collection, and we know lots of those paintings very intimately from seeing them under the microscope here at BACC. And so because this painting is so large, this is the first time that I have personally really got to see it up close and personal. So we have been here. We've been supporting local institutions and private clients with their conservation needs for many, many, many years. And we are just starting to come into our own as we go into our, I think, 50th year here. 65th. Oh, bad math. And so we are doing a lot more of programs, reaching out and being more accessible to the public.
Well, the world of art conservation has really exploded with technology. What are some of the major advancements, as you see it, Alexis, and how they're going to be applied to this painting?
So, yes, there has been a lot of technology that has been improved over the years. X-rays have been around for a long time, and that is actually one of the techniques that we were able to use to examine the painting. And an X-ray sees just like it sees through your body when you go to get an X-ray of a broken arm. It sees the bones of a painting. It sees the stretcher. It sees the pigments and all of that. And so in this instance, the advancement of X-ray is now that it's a digital X-ray, and it used to be film-based. And so this opportunity came up to partner with Carestream, which makes the digital X-ray, and they loaned us their X-ray machine so that we could take the X-ray of this painting. So that in itself is an improvement in technology, an older technology based on film, a newer technology based on digital that we had access to.
What does that X-ray technology allow you to do?
It allows us to see the construction of the painting. It allows us to see damages to the painting. It's an old painting. It's had damages. It allows us to see changes that the artist may have made. We're seeing the density of the painting in the X-ray. So there's lots of cool things to see visually. So the X-ray, part of the X-ray will be on exhibition. So you'll be able to see the things that we see in the gallery. Another technique that we have that has increased in its precision due to increased technologies and better cameras and things like that is infrared reflectography. So we have a very old infrared camera from about 20 years ago, and we were lucky enough to purchase with some funds from the county, a new infrared camera. And so we've used that for the first time on this painting and created another way to look at a painting different from an X-ray. And what it does is it sees underdrawing. It sees just below the surface of the paint, not all the way through like an X-ray does. So we can see changes. And there are some lines and underdrawing that Boucher did in the lower right corner that we're not really sure exactly what he was going for. So that's kind of one of those fun things that we discovered. So that is also another piece of technology that we'll discuss in the exhibition, and people will be able to see the images.
Do any of these artists create sketches on the canvas before they set about the full painting work? And are those visible?
Exactly. Infrared reflectography catches, it can image carbon-based media. So if someone does a pencil sketch or uses a carbon-based paint, and they do that on the canvas, on the ground layer, and then they cover it with paint, infrared lets you see that drawing underneath.
And they never thought that was going to happen back in the 18th century.
Exactly.
Really true. Boucher was a fantastic draftsman. And so we oftentimes look at his small scale drawings on sheets of paper. But in this case, what Alexis's technology is going to reveal is the actual motion of his arm as he describes a limb of a figure, or the small changes he makes in a face before he settles on the final appearance of it. All that stuff is going to be revealed, and we're super excited about it.
Well, Derek, in the history of this sort of art collecting, restoration has always been a part of the process, not always well done in some cases.
It's true. I think that the Timken has been fortunate, as Alexis said, to have this reliance really on the Balboa Arts Conservation Center since almost its founding. We've also had really strong relationships with other professional conservators, and so we've taken really good care of the collection over the years. That's not to say that before works were acquired, decisions were made that we might regret. We don't think we're going to find too many of those, although Alexis, you could probably say, we've already, just in the previewing of the work that BACC is going to do, discovered some really interesting things that we didn't know about this painting. And we're going to, as we've said, share that broadly with the public. We're even talking about publishing something together at the end of this process so that the scholarly community will learn what we've learned. And I think the main thing that we think about it when we're trying to be good stewards is that we will do nothing to change this painting that couldn't be reversed in the future. As technologies improve, we are going to make this painting look as good as possible for today, but everything that Alexis and Bianca are going to do will be reversible at some later date. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I do want to say that yes, restoration, conservation, preservation has changed a lot over the years, and it does take a lot of training to become a conservator. The treatment on this painting that was done a very long time ago was actually a really good restoration. It's just kind of old now. So the colors have changed. Derek talked about how the varnish, the protective layer of varnish, has discolored. It's yellow. It's got layers of grime on the surface that are gray. Some of the old retouching done by the previous conservator restorer has discolored. So the past restoration actually was done very well. So we are just kind of coming back X number of years later to remove some of those things that have discolored to kind of bring life to the painting again.
Now, you mentioned the diagnostic element using the X-ray, but the artisanal or craft, I don't know, or scientific, it's a combination of skills here to, do the hands-on restoration of the piece. Maybe you can describe some of that process once you figure out, how you're going to do the restoration.
Yeah, so conservation really is multidisciplinary. It's not just art. It's not just science. There's history. There's chemistry. Like there's a little bit of everything. You need to know what was a painting made of. So that's history. That's art materials knowledge, studio arts. You need to know the history of painting. Like, where did Boucher fit in within the world of painting and the development of art materials? Canvases, paints, varnishes. So there's that aspect, but then there is a big hands-on aspect, hand-eye coordination, really understanding how to, in this case, if there's layers of grime on the surface, what is grime? What's going to take off grime? And how to do that safely. So that might be testing different solutions in water with different chelators or surfactants or pHs, and then rolling a little cotton swab. Like one of those skewers you get for barbecue on wooden skewers, maybe a little cotton on the end, you roll it up and you dip it in the water, not too much, not too little, not too big, not too small, and then put it onto the surface of the painting. So it's that kind of like doing that you'll see us doing in the gallery is like, how do you roll a swab? How big of the area is it that you clean? All of those kinds of experiential things that we do all the time that people don't see, they get to see that.
You guys are giving me the ultimate inside art segment here. So
you're literally inside the art.
That's right. So Derek, a little more on how this is going to work for visitors to the museum to get up close and see this process happening.
Yeah, so visitors who know the Timken know that we have a very small temporary exhibition gallery where we'll stage projects that we've talked about before, Dave. In this case, we're just putting our painting and our friends from BACC in that gallery. The public will be invited in to watch them work, and we're going to contextualize what they're doing for them. So they'll learn about the kind of work that Alexis has described and the various diagnostic tests that we've done to sort of reveal what's not immediately apparent to the visible world in this painting. We're going to contextualize our painting because, this painting, before it came to San Diego, was in at least two other places. So it was hung in a chateau in France with a decorative ensemble that would have had other paintings. And then it was moved to England in the 19th century, where it hung in a manor house owned by the Rothschild family from, I think, 1854 to 1964. It was in England. And then it went to San Diego, and it's really left very little since then. So we're excited about that and excited to show the public what they can't see, a painting outside of its frame, receiving the kind of careful professional treatment that Alexis has described. And if somebody wants to come back a couple of times, they are going to see a visible difference. This work is going to look different from how it does today. And it doesn't look bad today. I mean, it took standing there with Alexis and her pointing out to me the areas which had changed color for me to realize that this was a priority for us to deal with now.
And Alexis, members of your team who are working on the project will be able to answer questions in the museum at specific, you don't want to bother them, at specific times and days. Tell us what those are.
That's exactly right. So I and my colleague, Bianca Garcia, who is our Associate Conservator of Paintings and Programs Manager here at BUCC, she and I will be tag teaming the treatment. And I think it's Friday afternoons, I believe, from 1:30 to 3:30?
Yeah, pretty much the afternoon on Fridays when the team is there, we'll be there to answer questions.
We can actually talk back on Friday afternoons. Normally, we'll be there doing the actual work and trying to concentrate as much as possible.
Even when the team from BACC isn't there, there will be materials in the gallery that people can explore on their own, and they'll see whatever stage the painting has been left in by Bianca and by Alexis. So there's something to look at all times.
And how long will the project be accessible, available to the public in this manner?
So that's a good question.
Until it's done.
I like that.
Yeah, we're going to take our time. This is a really important painting, and it's something that we're not going to try to rush our colleagues in completing just to meet some deadline. So we have an idea that it's going to take something between 4 and 6 months to complete this task.
But the great thing is you can, you know, make return visits and see the progress over time, right, which is really a wonderful feature of Boucher Conservation in a Park, which opens on October 18th, this coming Thursday, at the Timken Museum of Art. I've been speaking with its Director of Curatorial Affairs, Derek Cartwright, and the Head of Paintings Conservation for the Balboa Art Conservation Center, Alexis Miller. Thank you again for being my guest on Inside Art.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure.
Boucher, Conservation in a Park, begins October 18th, Thursdays from 10 a.m. to noon and 1 to 3 p.m., and Fridays from 12:30 to 4:30 p.m. at the Timken Museum of Art in Balboa Park. Admission is always free at the Timken. You can learn more at timkenmuseum.org. Coming up, we'll preview a new season of Chamber Music Journeys from Art of Elan. That's next, as Inside Art continues, here on San Diego's Jazz 88.3. Funding for Inside Art comes from the members of Jazz 88.3, where your support brings the joy and history of jazz and all of the arts to San Diego. To become a member, visit jazz88.org/donate.